Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low, you're listening to the Coach D podcast. And listeners, I have a very special, knowledgeable coach guest in the building with me in the studio today. But listeners, you know how we do on the Coach D podcast. When we have these high level players, coaches on, we have to introduce them the right way. So without further ado, let me cue the music and get my best commentator voice on. Stepping on the court, we have a coach who is dedicated to the craft of basketball and continues on his journey to better athletes all around the world. He has his own academy where he trains athletes and provides them with the right tools to use in the game through individual workouts, group sessions, and so much more. He has taken his knowledge overseas, doing camps in Puerto Rico, Hong Kong, and the Philippines, just to name a few. Listeners, I am humbled to have this guest on the podcast. Please give a warm welcome. Stepping on the court is Coach Christian.
I appreciate that. That's very nice.
No, of course. Of course. And I mean, just before we even get started, Coach, just on your journey, just how you're impacting the game, talk to me right now. I know it's super early in the morning. How's your physical and how's your mental right now?
Oh, man, it's doing great, man. I think, like, as a person, like, that's two things that you always got to take care of, right? The mental health and physical health.
Right.
And, you know, like, you know, when you get those things right, and I think everything should go in a positive way. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it was funny because I'm always, you know, on Instagram just searching and how I came across your page. And I mean, there's so many skills trainers. There's just so much basketball information out there. But the one thing that really caught my attention from your page is, one, your attention to detail, and two, one thing I like is just how you deliver your sessions, but also you think very outside of the box, which is something that I love and something that I'm even, you know, continuing to do myself, because the game of basketball is always evolving. So that's one thing that I absolutely loved about your page. But before you even get started in terms of, you know, the coach, the trainer that you are right now, if you could, Coach, kind of just take us back to a very young Christian who, you know, didn't have the saucy handles, who wasn't as confident, you know, where was you? And if there was, who was that person that put a basketball in your hands for the first time?
It all started when I was a little kid, man. I grew up in the Philippines, third world, and, you know, Philippines was, like, very big in basketball.
Right.
And I just, like, really fell in love with the game. My pops, he was just a basketball player also.
Okay.
And then, you know, we were just playing on the street, man, and he was already good, you know. He had the proper IQ and stuff, so he just taught me a lot of things. And then, you know, I started going to camps and stuff out there, and, you know, I did all right. Mm-hmm. And then my father actually passed away after my camp, so that was kind of like my inspiration.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and then it just made me work harder, you know what I'm saying? And then nice. I go the following year, just kill it. You know, I was one of those guys that I would watch on the side, see what they're doing, so I can work on it and come back next year and try to, you know, be better at it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And then I actually migrated out here in the U.S. And then obviously competition level is much harder. And
right.
I didn't back down from it. You know, I just, you know, became student of the game like always. Got better each day. I didn't have much trainers or coaches. You know, I didn't play travel ball.
Okay.
You know, my family never really supported me in hoop like that. I mean, they did a little bit.
Right.
But, you know, like, they let me go to the gym, work on my stuff. But, you know, finances, you know, I didn't have the money to, like, pay trainers or coaches or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, just watched a lot of YouTubes, and I was always good at, you know, mimicking players, you know, like highlights. Nice. And then I go to the gym, you know, I see one highlight, I go to the gym and work on it and see if I could do it, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And then just, yeah, Go ahead.
And who was those players? I mean, especially coming up, how much? Because I mean, there's just so much to speak about. But I know, because it's quite funny, because I think that we have a very strong Filipino community here in London, and they've got their own leagues. And I think every Filipino hooper that I've seen, they can handle the rock. It's just insane. I feel like they all went to the same camp or the same teacher. But I'm always curious to know, how did basketball become so big in the Philippines? Because it's like a religion out there, if I might say so.
I think it's because, like, it's like one of the main sports that they can only play, you know what I'm saying? Because you know, I don't think soccer, football wasn't as big because they don't have much fields like that you can play in.
Okay.
You know, like out there, basketball, like you go in each corner, each street, they'll build a hoop court on it. If a half court, don't matter.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
It.
Like, man. Like each corner of the street, they have a hoop court. It don't matter, man. You know, they could hang a backboard and a ring on a tree. You know what I'm saying? That's a basketball for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's what it is. And, you know, the love for the game. You know, the professional league is, you know, like, people just love it out there. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And so that must have been quite a, so how old was you when you moved to the States?
I was, let me see, 2008. I was 12 years old. I just had turned 12. Yes. There you go.
Okay. Okay. And how is it in terms of not just a culture shock, but I mean, you kind of touched upon it briefly in terms of, I mean, the level from the Philippines to now playing over in the US must have been a whole nother jump. So I mean, what was it like kind of finding your feet playing with guys who might be a little bit more physically athletic, or the game might have been faster? You know, how was your first couple of tries and just adjusting to whole new culture?
Yeah, it was funny. It's funny how you mentioned that. I still remember that day I went to the park.
Nice.
You know, my stepfather and my mom took me to this one park, and I went to this park, you know, in my community, there's a lot of Filipinos. So they kind of knew me a little because I was wearing. So this is how I got my name, by the way, the Milo. My nickname is Milo.
Okay, right.
I don't know if you've heard the drink Milo, the chocolate milk.
Oh, of course. That's big in Jamaica because I'm from Jamaica and that's all we drink over there. So yes, sir. Milo. Yes,
sir. So it's funny. So in the Philippines, remember I told you I was doing the camps and stuff?
Right, right.
So you know how Milo's kind of big in like sports and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So they're running like one of the biggest camps and I was killing it in the Philippines.
Talk that talk, okay?
And then so I got all the gears and everything. So when I came here in the US, you know, I go to the parks, I'm wearing my Milo gears.
Okay, right.
And that's how my name started. Everyone didn't know my name. They're like, oh, that's the Milo kid, because he must be nice. He went to the Milo camp, whatever, right?
Right, right.
So talking about the first day at the park, I was wearing my stuff. So these Filipinos like, oh man, you must be good. You went to the Milo, blah, blah. I was like, I'm all right. And then they had this kid, you know, he was a year older than me, and he was stocky, point guard, African American.
Okay.
And he said, you want to play some one-on-one, he said. And then he just killed me, bro. Like,
Damn. Dominated
me. And I'm like, yo, what? Like, I'm talking about, like, probably like 20-0 or something, like
that type of stuff. Oh man, okay.
And then I didn't know it turned out he was one of the best players in our area.
Damn.
I had no idea. And I was in seventh grade, he was in eighth grade. And I'm telling you, the kid was working. And then I seen his dad making him run at the park, you know what I'm saying? Making him do laps, and I'm like, damn, this is the real work right here.
Right. Right.
And that kinda inspired me, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, This is how they do it, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Like, you know, I start going to the park, you know, getting some runs in, you know, like I said, like watch videos and, you know, like just mimic it, go to the gym, the rec center. And then I was in that rec center, man, every day, right after school, just working on my craft, playing open run with the adults, you know, getting my confidence.
Right.
Oh, shit. Man, and it was just crazy, man.
Man.
And then I just kept going, man. Got better each day, like I said. And, you know, trainers and coaches saw me, man, working. And then they took me under their wing, man. And then
Nice. Like,
hey, man, I love your work ethic. And then, you know, I was a hungry person. So I'll come up to them like, hey, can you, like, train me? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Be like that, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And so, I mean,
so that's me as a player. Yeah.
How would you describe? Because I think the biggest culture shock for me was especially just comparing, because before, when I was kind of coming up in the basketball scene here in London, I would always hear, you know, the States are so much better than, you know, they're just Europe. And I always used to think, why? Like, is it the teaching, or is it what they're
eating? I think
out
it's just
there?
Like,
it's just completely different, man.
Completely different, man. It's just the skill work, man. It's just so advanced, you know what I'm saying?
Like, exactly.
You know, like when I was in the Philippines, you would work on fundamentals, you know what I'm saying? We're working on right hand straight layup, left hand straight layup.
Right.
You know, out here, you're already teaching little kids Euro step, spin move, you know what I'm saying?
It's right.
Yeah, the skill level is just more advanced and it's faster, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The teaching is more precise and detailed, you know?
Right.
And the people are just more experienced. And I think it's because the competition here is so high. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know what I'm saying? The way they train has to be at a high level so they can compete.
Exactly. And I mean, especially now, would you say, kind of since you've been back and some of the coaches and the players that you're still in contact with back home in the Philippines, how have you seen, you know, the standard athlete get a whole lot more better compared to what it was before? And in terms of just, is the overall structure, because I know basketball is not dying in the Philippines, that is a certain, you know,
no,
but just
not.
in terms of it developing, how have you seen those steps in terms of the league, the teams and the players just being a lot more well rounded?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like out there, they're more they're picking up very good.
Nice.
I think it's because, you know, like they're starting to like watch guys from the United States, you know what I'm saying? They're bringing in coaches from outside the country, you know, sharing a lot of knowledge. You know, I think they've been watching a lot of film and stuff, breaking down film, like how to do this move, how to do that and all that stuff. So I see that it's been picking up, and a lot of players, you know, from, you know, like half American, half Filipinos have been going out there and play.
Nice.
So it's right, and then so the competition level is rising and stuff, you know what I mean?
Right. So how does it work in the Philippines in terms of what, like, is there, what are the leagues and like how many leagues or how many teams, and what's the sort of player pathway for someone who, you know, wants to play for the national team and things like that?
Yeah.
Is it quite clear cut or not as clear?
It's pretty hard, man. It's pretty hard. Okay. You know, the process is pretty hard, you know, I think the room is so small, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I think in the PBA, which is the highest league, they only have 12 teams. I believe you have 12 teams.
Okay.
And then, like, they're only allowed, like, half Filipino, half foreigner players.
Okay.
And then the rest, you would have to be, like, a local, like, let's say, born in the Philippines, right?
Right.
And, you know, the spot is only, what, 12 to 15 players? And you only had 12 teams, and this is the highest league. So I think, I think they're making a good job out there. Like, they have smaller semi-pro leagues, like small pro leagues, like giving opportunity to other players. So, which is good, right? But I think the money is not like that, not like the highest pro league. I know the highest pro league, you know, they pay good, pretty good money,
right?
You know, because we train a lot of their players. But anyway,
nice.
But the path over there, I think, is just like they got to go through a lot of stuff, man. Like, they got to go play college. You know, they have to play in a little semi-pro leagues or D-League and make sure they kill it, get their, you know, their stock draft, make it higher, you know what I'm saying? And then they'll go to the PBA, you know, which is a pretty, you know, tough ride for them.
Wow.
But, you know, like we talk about, I tell these Filipinos out here, man, it's a grind. Like, you know, it's a process so long. It's a crazy grind. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah, it's super long, man. And then, like, 100%. Talk about national team, man. That's one of the hardest to get into, you know? Like, I think they have some type of rules that you have to have your Philippine passport by age 16 or else you're not eligible.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting, man. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, they have so many Filipinos, like, playing college D1. Remy Martin, who just won a national championship, who was Filipino.
Right.
And obviously, he's not eligible for national team because he didn't have his passport, you know, by age of 16. So I think he'll have to play as an import.
Okay.
You know, they had brought in Jordan Clarkson before, but he played as an import because he didn't have his passport by his 16. So I think that's the rule right there that they got.
Okay. And and just in terms of, I mean, I feel like just before we make a transition into, you know, you just being a coach, when would you say, because I feel like every athlete, every player, no matter what sport you play, there's that moment or that game or that game-winning shot, that crossover, that step back, that and one, you might die for the ball, get the ball, call a timeout. When was that moment for you, coach, when you realized that I'm actually built for this sport that's called basketball?
Man, I think it's just like I said, like, you know, when I came out here, you know, like when I felt like I was getting better at my stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like I saw improvement, you know, I started to like, you know, like use the moves that I'm working on. And that's when I was like, okay, I think I can take this to the next level. You know what I mean? Like, there was really no games or, you know, like game-winning shot or whatever. I think it's just when I felt like I was putting the work in and, you know, the work was paying off. And that's when I was like, okay, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. See, I can just tell just from how you speak. I can just tell your grind to get where you was as a player and your grind to get where you are as a coach was a long road, but you eventually got there. And I can just tell that's what you preach to these players, especially those players who might have the physical attributes. They might be 6'6", 6'7", so they're already going to get noticed. But I can just tell that you preach, no, you still need to put in the work, you know, you still need to, as Kevin Durant would say, you know, you need to work hard, you know, in that way. If your talent doesn't work hard because your discipline is there, you shining and working hard will shine through. So exactly. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. And I think especially you now being a coach, you know, I mean, just impacting so many players, especially earlier on to where you are now, who were some of the role models or some of the coaches that you was pulling from to build your own coaching philosophy?
Let me see. Like, man, there was a lot, man. Like, cause when I was like in high school, entering college, you know, I had this, you know, obviously my high school basketball coaches, you know, like, I think first, you know, my high school coaches, you know, they just believed in me, you know, cause they see my work ethic you know, I used to go in high school, I used to go like 6 a.m. every day at my gym. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was like that from sophomore year to senior year. You know, my high school coach always had that belief in me, and it made me believe in myself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, you know, I had mentors. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had this OG. He was a sponsor at my school. He was like a 70-year-old guy rebounding for me every day.
Oh, man.
That's one guy who believed in me, too. Yeah.
I can just tell you were saying, Benjamin's young blood. Hold your fire for young blood.
Exactly. Exactly, man. Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah, and then I had this a good friend of mine. His name is Stevie Ju. He's a performance trainer, and then he was a basketball trainer also, and now he's a coach for little kids.
Nice.
He took me in under his wing. I was like a junior in high school or senior, I believe. And I would see him everywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd see him at a fitness center, you know, training. I would see him at my high school when they have practice for the kids. And then we just, you know, like, we talk, and he was like, hey, man, I see you everywhere. And he just asked what's your name, and we introduced ourselves. And then, like, he had offered to train my high school team.
Until
my high school team didn't want to go nowhere until I was the only one left. And then from there, we just got close, and he took me under his wing. And he trained me. He took me to the sand dunes, you know, introduced me to the weight room.
Ooh, how was the sand dunes like for the first time? Jeez.
Oh, man, it was great, man. It was great. Nice. Sand dunes is great out here, man. So that's one thing that we got something good going on out here, sand dunes.
Right.
And then, like, yeah, introduced me some moves and stuff. And then, you know, like, a couple trainers, too, man, you know, reach out to me because they see my work ethic. You know, they see me work. And because I used to work at a fitness center, rec center. So I'd offer them, like, hey, I have a gym, can you train me? And then, you know, they'd put in the time to train me, you know what I mean?
Nice.
So that was great. And then me, as I just started watching, like, videos, man, like, you know, like, Instagram influencers, like, I mean, social media influencers. Devin Williams is one, yeah, obviously.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because Devin Williams has started here in San Francisco.
Right.
It's funny. The Wong brothers, you know, I started training them too after, you know, Devin had left. But
nice.
I was actually supposed to train with Dev.
No way.
As a player. And then I broke my foot. And this was the transition of me becoming a trainer.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that was, yeah. Yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, dude. But, you know, Dev was one of, I think, an inspiration to all hoopers, man. You know
Facts.
What I mean?
Facts.
Like, when he made that 10,000 hours video. And
that was ringing over here in London, too, for sure, man. Yes, sir.
It just woke everybody up, man.
Facts. Like,
I'm not even lying to you. Like, I watched that video 100 times, 1,000 times.
Man, that's motivation right there, man. That's the blueprint.
Yeah, man. Yes.
That's the blueprint.
And then I actually played against Maddie Wong in college. We played against each other out here.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it was a small world. Like, but yeah, that was just, you know, man, that video was just inspiring, dude. Like,
Then,
yeah, like, you know, like, the way he was teaching, like, I would copy the moves and stuff. It was crazy. And then,
right.
You know, and then, you know, a lot of Instagram, J-Law, B-Ball and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the guys, man. Drew Hanlon, obviously.
Right.
And then, yeah, man. And YouTube, man. Like I said, copying players. I used to watch a lot of film of Kyrie and CJ McCollum. Those were two of the guys that stuck me the most.
Right.
Because, you know, I think they're one of the most skilled players in the NBA, you know, like, in terms of footwork-wise, ball-handling-wise, you know, like, and I felt like, you know, as a player, you know, as a guard, you know, the footwork and, you know, like, the ball control was one of the most important skills, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I see. And that just speaks volumes too, because I mean I understand that everyone is different, but I just find it so dope that, you know, you being a former player, you know, you going through an injury, you could have been like, you know what, I'm just gonna hang up my cleats and just, you know, do a regular 9-to-5 or, you know, completely change my passion. But I could just tell that, you know, you love the game so much. You're like, you know, even though it, you know, my book might have closed for me being a player, I can still be a coach and I can still impact these kids and I can still even add to the play is what I was neglected from, you know, which I absolutely love. And just in terms of, again, the thing that, you know, really caught my attention was, I mean, because it's great, and don't get me wrong, like, it's great that there's so much more information out there for players to learn how to pick up a ball, how to shoot, how to ball handle, how to come off a screen, how to set screens. But in terms of, you know, finding that balance in terms of teaching that player the skill, but also the importance of decision making, so you don't just know what to do, you know how and when to do it. So for yourself, how important is decision making being linked to the skill when you're teaching some of these athletes?
Well, obviously decision making is the most important part, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But everything has to start with the skill first before the decision making.
Right.
You know, and there is why, like, you know, like, in the training industry or, like, you know, as a player, you know, there's steps to ways of learning, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's ways of learning, and I always tell these to the kids, you know, first, you know, if you're learning something, what is the move or something, right?
Right.
You know, like, you gotta understand what is it. And then the next thing part is, like, how do you do it? You know what I'm saying? How do you do it? And then, like, the third part for me is understanding when to do the move, right?
There we go.
And then the last part for me is being able to feel it and have that confidence to use it, right? And that's why, like, you got to master all those type of learnings first so that decision-making becomes in natural. Does that make sense?
Right.
And that's why, like, for example, when we were training, right, you want to do this move, and then we put in a live action, right?
There we go.
And see if you actually make the right decision, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Yeah, so that's how it is. That's how I usually break my stuff down, you know what I mean?
And you just mentioned something that I really liked in terms of you've got to feel it. And I'm not sure if some of the listeners caught that, because you can tell when a player is smooth and fluid, like a Kyrie, Dame. It's just smooth, fluid. Yes. Their ball and their body is moving as one. Then you get some of the players who, excuse me, want to mimic that, but they're not feeling the play. Yes. They're not feeling the move, and it looks very robotic. What did you mean by that in terms of the feeling, and why is that important to you?
I think the feeling is just like, you know, when you put in the thousands of work of learning, understanding, and the move, when, how, what, and then you start to get that gain of confidence. Okay, I can do this. You know what I'm saying? And that's when when you feel like I can do this and not even think about it and just naturally, instantly happening.
Right.
Exactly. And that's when you feel the move, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And so how long have you been teaching basketball for now?
Man, honestly, you know, when I was in high school, I used to work at camps and stuff. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And I've always fell in love. You know, like a high school kid, you need a part-time job.
Right.
And I've always fell in love with teaching kids, you know what I'm saying? Because I came from the shoes that they were in.
Right.
You know, like, you know, I was always willing to learn, and I see kids willing to learn. And, you know, like, I was helped out. But I took it seriously. After that injury I had, you know, this was the off season going to my second year in college.
Right.
Obviously, I couldn't train. I couldn't play. And I was working at the rec center, and I had, you know, kids coming in there, and they knew me. Like, hey, can you show me a move? You know, can you show us a drill? And, you know, I show them a drill and stuff, and it's funny. And then, you know, they'll like it. I had friends that were playing college ball.
Okay.
And then we would post it on, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, you know, messing around.
Right.
And would put shout out Milo Academy, right?
Nice. There we go.
And then, you know, people start reach out and like, hey, man, like, we want to try this. Like, you know. And we were just like, you know what, man? This is not even serious. We're just messing around. Like, we're literally just doing some, like regular drills. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't nothing serious, you know?
Right.
And then they're like, no. Like, we want to try it. Like, for real. Like, and then, you know, I was like, all right, whatever. And then we came from, you know, we went to my rec center. I was working at sneaking into that gym early in the morning. And then, you know, we bring in the guys. And they're like, oh, hey, man, we actually like it. Like, you know, they kept going. And they're like, dude, this could be like a career for you, you know, like after basketball or something, you know, like you could probably make a good amount of money, like it's a part-time job for you.
Right.
And I was like, for real? They're like, yeah. Just charge, like, we'll give you, he's like, we could pass it on. We get you some clients and then, you know, give you like $10. Have them give you $10. And I was like, all right, cool. So $10. And, you know, like, obviously, you know, you go into a job, like, you know, like you want to get better at what you do, right?
Exactly, so,
like,
right.
You know, like, I just watched some videos, like, I remember I used to watch a lot of draft workouts. I believe this was 2016 summer draft workouts. Yeah, it was 2016 because it was, like, Jabari Parker and them. I used to watch that, Oladipo, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, and Marcus Smart and them. I used to watch their draft workouts. And then, you know, kind of, like, just mimic it. And then just kept going. You know, I finally get better my injury. I head to my sophomore year in college. And my head was more into training instead of playing, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
that's when the
change
started to happen.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I finished my second year and I was out of junior college. So I finished my second year and, like I said, my head was into the training. You know, our season ends in March. And I've already planned an April camp. So the following month, I've already started a camp, which is, I just did a small camp, you know, Saturday afternoon, 4 Saturdays in 1 month. And I would charge $10. And I made a flyer, you know, I put the guys I was training in there. You know, in that 1 year, I started training, mind this, like, college kids, you know what I'm saying, Division III, Division II. And then, yeah, I put it in there. And then that camp became successful. You know, kids would only pay parents would only pay $10 and they would love it.
Nice.
And until, like, I kept doing it. And then, you know, like, I would start sneaking into the gym, charge kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally, like, sneaking late night, early morning. I'm telling you, I almost got fired so many times. and then my bosses just, you know, they felt so bad. You know, the hustle, just like, just don't do it again. don't do it again, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That type of stuff. And then, yeah, it just, I decided to hang, you know, hang my jersey up and focus on the training. And then I had this one guy, his name was Michael Smith. He actually was training with Dev. He was a good friend of mine.
Okay.
And Dev was already on the way to LA. So I started training this guy named Michael Smith. I played against him in high school. He was one of the top players out here. You know, junior year in college, he was already player of the year for the conference.
Right.
And he'd asked me to train him. And I was like, what? Like, are you serious? Like, I'm just training kids right now.
Right.
And it's like, nah, man, like, you know, I want you to train me, you know what I'm saying?
That's humbling, man.
And, you know,
wow.
And, you know, like, I just started focusing in more, you know, studying the game more, like his game, you know, look at his stat sheet, you know what I'm saying? Like, what we need to work on. And next thing you know, he became All-American. Player of the year again. His averages go up. His percentages go up. He gets Lakers workout. He gets offered in Australia right away, but he broke his foot. But yeah, man. And then after that, you know, a lot of players start reaching out to me, you know?
Man.
Like I said, like the Wong brothers reached out to me.
Right.
And yeah, and like a lot of high school kids in the area. And yeah, man, and that changed, you know what I mean? And I started making my business more legal. You know, instead of sneaking into the gym, you know, I got my business right. License.
Nice.
Start renting out the gym, contracted with the facility and stuff. But yeah, but for so long, you know, and you know, we're training overseas guys, but for so long I was comfortable. You know what I mean?
Right.
And my this was in 2017. And you know, like this went on till like I would say 2019, man. Like I was comfortable for 2 years. Yeah, I was getting better as a trainer, but I wasn't putting myself out there, you know, like,
right.
I had an ego and insecurity, you know, I didn't want to post social media and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I just had that insecurity. I wasn't comfortable. I was afraid, you know, mm-hmm. I was afraid people would like, you know, bash me and all that stuff, the hate that I would get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that went on for about 2 years. And yeah, man. And then I felt like after like, oh, mind this, I was actually in school also in that year, 2017. And I would, you know, I felt like I had the opportunity of training and school. I'm sorry, by the way, I'm saying everything like in different subject.
Oh, no, you good. You good.
Yeah. I'm just telling you my life story right now, man.
Of course. Of course.
So yeah, when I finished in junior college, you know, like, I would play, I would train, I would study at San Francisco State, and I was actually going to play there, Division II basketball.
Okay.
And then I decided, you know, I was like, you know what, I can't do this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had meetings with the coaches, never came back. So I was like, you know what, let me try to go to school, and like, do the training, right?
Right.
And, you know, I felt like, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you want to pursue something, you want to be 100% committed
in it, right?
Committed in one thing.
Right.
So I decided, you know, to drop out of school, and I wanted to go 100% of my basketball training.
Take a dive. Go for it, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, you know, you can't be 50-50, 80-20 here, 70-30 here.
Ole.
You got to be 100. Yeah, you got to be all in 100%, believe in yourself, you know what I mean? And I felt like the basketball opportunity was like once in a lifetime for me, you know what I mean? Like it was the right time. I felt like school was always going to be there, but this opportunity I had was not, and it's a once in a lifetime. And that's when I like took that training to the next level, you know what I mean? Start working for teams, you know what I'm saying? You know, at that time I was working at the rec center and I was working at part-time. And then at the same time, I was training basketball, you know, going to places, training at the rec center. And like I said, that went in for about 2 years of grinding, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. And then I was more of a, like I said, like I was more of a organic, like I wanted people to see my work instead of me showing my work to them.
Okay.
Like
right.
I wanted them to come to me. Like I want everything word by mouth. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and that, and like I said, yeah, exotic growth for there. That went for 2 years. And like I said, I feel like, you know, that was way too comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like now I'm at, and like after that 2 years, I feel like I was at the point, like, I have to go get it myself. You know what
right.
I mean? Yeah.
Man. See, so when, because yeah. I mean, you just touched upon so many things that I don't think people from the outside looking in even realize, like, before we even put that post up on Instagram, we're thinking, damn, like, is this drill even hard enough, or like what are the questions going to be, are people going to mess with it or not? And just, you know, getting that, it's real dope as a coach to get the embrace and the support from players, even some players you think that's out of your league, actually sending you a DM or liking stuff or actually wanting to work with you face to face, because that actually shows that, you know, what I'm doing is actually working and I actually know what I'm talking about. I know how to demonstrate to the point where I'm actually adding value to the community that I love so much. So I'm sure, you know, to get certain players, certain coaches and certain milestones that you just hit, it must have been super humbling for you to actually reach that point and that mindset of, you know, that gamble that I did, you know, kind of dropping certain things to put, you know, to be all in coaching and basketball. It must have been super rewarding for you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was very rewarding. And like I said, man, like, you know, there is no secrets to anything. You know, there's no shortcuts or whatever. It's really you put in the work and then, you know what I'm saying, the work, it will pay off. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You know, it might take a couple years, might take a couple months, might take a couple days. You know, you have to put in the work, man. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, a 9-to-5, you have to put in the work. And then you have to be, you know, the best version of yourself at what you do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, if you're a janitor, right, like, you want to be the freaking best janitor in this building.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Facts.
Yeah. And then, like, facts. You know, that mentality changed. You know, like, I want to be the best janitor in this building. After that, I want to be a janitor manager. You know, I want to be a janitor supervisor. You know, just keep working way up. You know, I want to, and next thing you know, I own a janitor company. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, everything is just put in the work, man, and leveling up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, keep getting better at your craft. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you never get comfortable and stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. So I find it curious because now I think as basketball has changed over the years in terms of, you know, what the five man would do back in like the 70s, 80s and 90s,
yes,
the game has evolved where you have 6'10", 7-footers bringing the ball up, stretching the floor by shooting the threes. And that's, you know, it's not just the game that's evolved, but the athletes have evolved. And it's now, you know, you don't necessarily have to change what you communicate, but you change how you communicate. And, you know, mm-hmm, working hard, you know, being focused, and again, just you know, grinding day by day, being, you know, one of the foundations of your coaching philosophy. When you're working with that athlete who isn't as motivated, or they might get disheartened quickly, or they haven't yet been introduced to, you know, they've been able to get by coasting, and they look at their previous achievements and they're like, well, I've been able to do this just from me being 6'5 and me just going to room and scoring, what's the point of getting better? Or they don't really see the importance of working hard day by day. How do you address and how do you tackle that type of scenario with some of the athletes that you work with?
Well, for me, first of all, it's just like, you got to build that, you know, like, the mental discipline in their head and the self-respect in their body, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's two things that I always tell people, you know, you want to succeed in this life, you know, as a player off the court, on and off the court, you got to have that self-discipline and that self-respect. And, you know, like, you got to be willing to get better every time. Like, it doesn't matter how long it takes, right? You know, you got to, you know what I'm saying, like, you build that discipline in your head, you know, like, it makes your body just work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I feel like discipline is always over motivation.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well said, coach. Yes, sir.
Because, you know, like you said, like, for example, like, 6'5", I'm killing this. Like, you know, like, he needs motivation, but no, he needs discipline. you know, I'm killing it. Let me get back in the gym and work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like it's that mental change that you got to train them first. You know what I'm saying? Like, always build that, have that mental discipline in their head. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I always try to build in our players, is that mental discipline always.
Right. Right. I love that. I love yeah. that. And just in terms of, I mean, it must have been another whole nother experience to be doing camps, I mean, overseas. Like I said in the beginning, you've done camps back home in the Philippines, Hong Kong, Puerto Rico. What was it like not to only, you know, take your knowledge and to, you know, teach it to kids, you know, across the pond, way overseas in a whole other country, and just the coaches you met, connecting with the players, and just the overall experiences of those camps?
It's obviously a humbling experience, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like as a coach and a trainer, that's like, for me, it was a dream, you know what I'm saying? You know, I always looked at myself, you know, when I started this training industry, like, you know, I've always wanted to get better at what I do and pass it on, and, you know, to the other countries and other people, other players, other coaches, right?
Right.
And, you know, it was, man, it was one of the best feelings ever, honestly, you know?
Like, nice.
You know, you get to travel, obviously, and it's just like going to different cultures and then seeing, meeting new people, you know, like how they do stuff. And then it's just so amazing, you know what I'm saying? You're exploring, you know what I'm saying? And not just me sharing the knowledge, and I'm actually learning too, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I'm going to their place and I'm just not there to teach. I'm also there to learn.
Nice.
You know, for me, it's like I said, it's a humble experience because, you know, like I said, you have to be always student of the game, you know.
100%.
It could be, you know, the game of basketball or game of life, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, like, and I always appreciate all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm the one that's actually, you know, taking, you know, notes too, you know what I mean?
Right.
And taking it back home to these people, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just only one sharing the knowledge, I'm also picking up the knowledge.
Understood.
So, yeah.
I like that. And, oh, man, to come back home to the Philippines, what was that like? Just to, in some ways, you know, that's the actual definition of giving back to your community. Like, what was that like, being back home, running camps in the Philippines for you, man?
Oh, man, it's great, man. Actually, the camp that I ran when I was out there about 4 years ago, it wasn't as big yet, and I'm planning to do something bigger next year.
Nice.
Because I feel like now I'm a better player, you know, we get more following. But anyway, man, like, just giving back to the community where I started, it's obviously, and that's always been the goal, was always giving back to the community, right?
Right.
Especially for the roots where I came from, the country where I came from, you know, one of the best feeling ever, because that's where I started, you know, that's where I grew up, and, you know, that's the place that made me who I am, you know what I'm saying? And it's
exactly.
Just about giving, and it's always about giving back, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, that's always, you know, been my goal, was always to give back.
So, I mean, with all of this experience that you've gained, and it's even something that I find myself, you know, as a coach, and like you said, you're not just teaching the game, it goes both ways. You're learning the games, you're picking up something from this coach, you could be learning something from the player that you're even coaching. So as this new experiences are being gained for you, coach, personally, what new thoughts, what new ideas, what new conversations are you starting to have now?
You know, like, for me, it's just making relationships, you know what I'm saying? Building that relationships, like, you know, instead of just talking about basketball, getting to know the players, you know what I'm saying?
Right, like, that's key.
You know, yeah, you know, like, knowing what they're capable of, you know what I'm saying? You know, personality, you know what I'm saying? You know, because a lot of times, you know, you might have, you know, they might be going through something too, you know what I'm saying?
Like, that's true.
You need to keep these players always accountable, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you're not just a basketball trainer, you're not just a coach, you're also a mentor, you know what I'm saying? You're also a big brother, you know what I'm saying, or something, you know, like, you got to make sure, like, you know, you build that trust and respect for each other, like, always.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And just before we get into the third and fourth quarter part of the podcast, I'm just going to hit you with these questions there in terms of how would you describe the unseen grind of a coach?
Oh, man, that's a good one. How would you describe the unseen grind, huh? Man, that's a tough one. How would you see unseen grind?
Because I feel like the players will always get the focus, and that's how, you know, it should be for me personally. But I mean, again, there's an unseen grind to players, but for those who might not know, you know, whether it's going for your day-to-day routine, planning, film sessions, stretches, warming up, like you said, tapping in with not just a player, tapping in with the person as well. For yourself, what's been the unseen grind for you?
I think it's just, I wouldn't even see a grind, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel like it's normal for me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not even a grind, and I feel like it's a routine for me, you know? Like, each person, you have a routine, and then you fall in love with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even a job, it's something that you love doing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, that's a good one, though. That's a tough one.
That's all good. That's all good.
Yeah, I like that.
The next one. What would you say? Because I think, you know, we're in a very fortunate position where a lot of players come to us for answers, and they have a lot of questions in terms of how do I become a better ball handler? How do I become a better shooter? You know, if a athlete, and for the athletes that are going to be listening to this, you know, in terms of the top three qualities of a leader, for yourself, what would those top three qualities be?
As a leader?
Yes.
I think first is obviously, you know, being vocal, you know what I'm saying? Like, communication is number one. And, you know, in any other, you know, business or life, whatever you counter with, communication is always number one, right?
Right.
And then next thing is, like, you know, like I said, the discipline, you know, having that discipline, you know, in your mind, you know what I'm saying? Because that will pass along to the other players.
True.
You know, they follow you of what you do, right? And then I think last thing is just like showing like determination, you know what I'm saying? Like, just being determined at what you do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, that falls along after discipline. Obviously, you get your discipline right, your mental discipline and stuff, and then you determine to work harder will be right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And next one, what would you say, especially when you look at the athletes that you've worked with in the past to the present, what are the top three things that every basketball player should have?
Can you repeat that again?
No, sure. So what would you say are the top three things that every basketball player should have in terms of, it could be skill set, shooting, footwork, ball handling, basketball?
Well, first, IQ. I feel like you got to have the right mindset. You know what I'm saying? You
got to
have the right mindset. You know, that you need to put in the work, that it takes a lot of time. And then next thing is just believe in yourself, you know, the confidence, man. And then the last thing is just like, I think for me, last thing, so I have mental discipline, obviously, mindset, confidence, and and I think it's just like loving the game and having a love for the passion for the game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, have that passion for the game, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you gotta have those three things before, you know what I'm saying, you have those skills and stuff, you know what I mean?
Very true. Very true. And the final two before we get into the third quarter is, what would you say is the top three qualities of a shooter?
Top three qualities of a shooter, huh?
Yes.
Top three qualities of shooter. That's a good one. Like, what do you mean quality? Like,
it could be like, in terms of their ability to catch and shoot, coming off screens, okay. Footwork,
got
things
it.
Like that.
Got it. You know, I think number one is confidence.
100%. Right?
Because, you know, you got to be able to believe yourself that you can make a shot.
There you go.
Right? And number two, quality of the shooter, man. So we got confidence. What else? That's a tough one too, man. That's a tough one. Like I said, like, you know, number one is confidence. You know, you got to make,
exactly.
You know, you got to believe yourself that you got to make it. Right. And I think number three is being able not to just catch and shoot the ball, but, you know, you being able to do, you know, like, you know, like live actions, like not just, you know, I'm talking about coming off screens, mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, pin downs. Those are like big time quality of a shooter.
Right.
And, you know, number three is just like being able to shoot at any spots of the floor or any types of footwork. You know, being able to do a 1-2 step, being able to do a hop off the dribble, you know what I'm saying?
So key.
Yeah.
So
and then
key.
I would add, like, you know, obviously having the details with it, you know, like proper form, you know, have a nice follow through and everything, wide base, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. And just for the athlete that's probably got a question mark in terms of, I mean, well, why is footwork so important? Why do I need to know, you know, the difference between when to hop versus the 1-2 for yourself, as and especially with what you teach? What's the importance of having footwork and how that can open up your game from not just a shooter's perspective, but just as a player in general?
And you know, like, there's no right. I mean, obviously there's no right or wrong footwork, but there is right footwork that will, you know, there's footworks that will get your shot off faster, which is very important. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, I feel like, you know, if you notice every player, you know, great players have great footworks.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
100%.
You know, that's one of the most skills. And footwork is not just in basketball. You know, if you look at it, it's all in the other sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like the feet is one of the most important, you know what I'm saying? Like, you cover ground, you're the one moving your body with your feet. You know what I'm saying?
Talk about it, yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, you play soccer, you play tennis, you know, everything is just all in the feet. You know
right.
what I mean? And,
right.
you know, when you have good footwork, it makes your game more fluid. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You get your shot off faster. You get to the spot you need to. You know, you minimize your dribble. You know what I'm saying? Get into the basket and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And this next one here, I mean, I've asked coaches, players, D1 athletes, pros, and it's always been a mixed review. And I guess this will be a ongoing conversation, but I'm super curious, especially just from your own personal experiences from yourself and just some of the athletes and coaches that you've worked with. When it comes to the competitive edge, would you say, coach, that it's something that you're born with or a skill that can be learned?
I think everyone's born with it,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like a certain time that you'll have that switch in you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, you know what
okay.
I mean? Like, you know, in my, you know, you like you said, you know, I think you mentioned earlier in the early podcast that, you know, do you remember that time when you might have hit a game-winning shot?
Right.
You know, everyone have that switch, right? You know, like, he might have, you know, a kid might have got bullied or on the court, and he had that switch, and I don't know, became confident, you know, become competitive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I feel like everyone has it on them. It's just a matter of time of, you know, taking it out there. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right, when that switch happens,
when that switch happens, yeah.
Got you. Now, just moving on to the third quarter before we have a little bit of fun in the fourth. We call it the quick hitter segment. So I'm just going to ask you some rapid fire questions and see where you're at with them. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, what would you say, coach, is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Wait, what?
I got you.
What? Are you asking what coach?
No. So I'm asking you, coach. So yeah. So what would you say is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Oh, that's a good one. Man, it's the mindset, baby. It's mindset to me.
Okay.
I think it's really mindset. You know what I mean? Like, you watch Kobe Bryant, Mamba mentality, and all that stuff. Everything is in the mind, bro.
Right.
Everything is in the mind.
Right.
Having that right mindset, you know, you can do anything. Anything is possible, right?
It's that mindset. This is true. I like it. I like it. And the next one, best piece of advice you ever received?
Man, best piece. You have to be 1% better each day.
Ooh.
That's always been my motto. 1% better each day. You know, like, I tell everybody and all my close friends, they know that. You know, like, you know, you have to learn something each day.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Right.
You know, like, it doesn't matter with life or basketball, you know. You know, like, you have to be 1% better each day. Like, oh, I learned how to water the plants today. You know, that type of stuff.
Right.
You know, you have to learn something each day.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And even in that statement you said, I can tell it's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, because some people want to get better. You know, they want to increase by 100% the next day, but that's not going to be realistic. You know, you just got to get better day by day. And it's really showing consistency more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, can you be consistent in your work ethic, in your mindset? So I love that. I love that. And the final one before we get into the fourth quarter is, if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned filling the blank about myself.
If it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have, can you repeat that phrase again?
If it wasn't for basketball. If it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned filling the blank about yourself.
I think my self-discipline.
Mm.
Yeah, if you want to basketball, I've never learned self-discipline about myself, you know, because you know, like, with basketball, it taught me, like I said, like, that self-discipline. Like, you know, if I want to get better, I gotta stick to this thing that I need to do, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Understood. And now we're going to transition, just before we wrap up with the fourth quarter. What I usually do with our guest coach is we have a little bit of fun. So I will ask you a question and you've got 10 seconds to name five things. So for example, I might say, coach, you've got 10 seconds and they'll all be basketball related. I might say, coach, just an example, you've got 10 seconds to name five NBA teams. And when you hear this countdown,
10, 9,
that's when you can just start listing them off.
6, 5.
Yep.
That's sick, man.
Let's get it. So let's get the first one nice and easy. So, coach, you've got 10 seconds to name 5 NBA players.
Oh, man. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
Easy.
Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. LeBron James.
5.
Okay.
Draymond Green.
And he's still going? Okay. We'll take Bet. Okay. Next one. You have 10 seconds to name 5 NBA teams.
Golden State 10, Warriors, Los Angeles 9, Lakers, 8, Phoenix Suns.
7, 6,
thanks.
5,
easy,
4.
Easy.
Easy. Easy. Yeah, yeah.
4 seconds left. Okay. Now these next two, coach, I'm going to give you the heads up. Guests in the past have stumbled with some of these names because they are mentioned during this, but these names are only mentioned during a certain time of the season. So I'll give you that much of a heads up and let's see how you handle these next two. So 10 seconds to name 5 NBA coaches.
Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr.
9.
Steve Nash.
Yes, sir.
Alvin Gentry. 5.
Here we go. One more.
Oh, shit. Frank Vogel.
Hey. Let's go.
Damn.
Let's go.
I just keep forgetting the names, man.
But, okay, we've got the last three here. Okay, so coach, you have 10 seconds to name five international players in the NBA.
Like current?
10.
Yep.
9.
Oh, Luka.
Six, yep.
Five, Dragic.
Here we go.
Boban.
Three, here we go.
Porzingis.
Yes, sir.
Frank Ntilikina.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Clutch, clutch. Hey. Listen, I'm not gonna lie. He's flying through these right now. Okay. Yeah. Next one. You have 10 seconds to name five basketball movies.
Above the rim.
Nine,
okay.
Who got game?
Seven,
yes, sir.
Blue chips.
Five,
yep.
Glory Road.
Three, yep.
Love and Basketball.
Let's go. Let's get it. I love it. And the final two. Now, these ones come down to personal preference. So, 10 seconds, coach, to name or to give me your top five players of all time. Talk to me.
Wow. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant,
seven,
Steph Curry.
Six,
okay.
Five, four,
I would say Kevin Durant.
Okay. And the final one, coach. You have 10 seconds to name five artists that get you hyped before a game or a workout.
Man. Lil Durk, Lil Baby.
Yes, sir.
Seven.
Shoot.
Six,
Gunna.
Five.
Woo.
Man, three, J. Cole, Drake.
Two, ooh, one. I'll take it. That's that is solid.
There's a lot, man. There's a lot. Yeah, I have an R&B playlist, hip hop playlist.
Okay.
Like I have that slow playlist.
Nice. I love it. I mean, seriously, listeners, appreciate you listening, staying tuned in the podcast, and don't worry, the info to find coach will be in the description. But coach, for those who are listening, for those who want to just, you know, continue to grind, continue to get better at the craft 1% each day, where can they find you?
I'm always on Instagram at official Milo Academy, TikTok Milo Academy. I have a website, officialmiloacademy.com. You can see me there. Working on our app, and then hope to see you guys there too. Yeah.
Nice, indeed.
Don't
worry, all the links will be in the description, so please make sure you follow, support, and feel free to ask some questions, because, I mean, it's very rare that I get impressed with coaches and, you know, just trainers who not only know the game but how they teach it and their attention to detail. So definitely, if you want to get better at your craft, definitely check him out. So hey, coach, appreciate you. This is myself and
Man.
Coach Christian, aka Milo, from the Philippines. Stand up, signing out.